Good morning. Welcome to First Unitarian Church. I'm Angela Herrera, the senior minister. Come in. Wherever you are in your spiritual journey, you are welcome here, where, as we like to say, we need not think alike to love alike. I'm joined this morning by our music director, Susan Peck, by our volunteer DJ, Chris Paul, and by a wonderful volunteer tech team. We count on so many volunteers to make these services possible. We're also joined this morning by a special guest. I'm so happy to welcome Kathy McGill back into the pulpit today. Kathy is somebody I call a wise woman. She's been our guest preacher several times over the years. She is a community builder. She's founder of New Mexico Black History Month and the Roots Summer Leadership Academy, which our church hosted for many years during the summer. I hope we'll have a chance to host the Leadership Academy again after it's safe to gather once more, and we'll be able to share our new and improved social hall. Kathy is a leader in dismantling racism and teaching multiculturalism. She's a mentor to youth and older folks too. And she also happens to be an amazing gospel singer. She's all these things and more. And I know we don't have a pulpit right now, but this is still church. So welcome back, Kathy.
Thank you, Reverend Angela. It's so great to be here with you. And, you know, you're my hero. You're a rock star. And I'm grateful to be here at First Unitarian on Zoom Church this morning.
Here we are on Zoom Church. And it's good to see all of you today. Welcome all to this service. May it nourish our spirits and our minds. May it give us strength for the week to come. I've got one announcement as we get rolling, and that is that Connections Week is coming. Normally around Labor Day, we would be looking forward to kicking off our church year with Connection Sundays, those 2 days where groups share who they are and what they do, and members of our community have an opportunity to find out more about how to get involved or join. We always do that in our courtyard, and it's a busy, has a fair-like feel to it. But unfortunately, we just can't have this kind of big in-person event right now. But that doesn't mean we've lost connections. We're going to be hosting a totally online Connections Week from August 30th to September 5th. And you'll be able to register for as many brief online sessions as you'd like to find out more about the different groups and activities in which First U members continue to connect with each other. So keep reading the e-broadsheet and look to the August Messenger for details about how to sign up for those. And if you would like for your group to be part of Connections Week so that you can invite new people to join, that is great. Just reach out to our Director of Membership, Lara Magnuson, and she'll tell you how to do it. I invite you to join me now in the lighting of candles and chalices with the words of Eric Heller Wagner. The words of Eric Heller Wagner. Blessed is the fire that burns deep in the soul. It is the flame of the human spirit touched into being by the mystery of life. It is the fire of reason, the fire of compassion, the fire of community, the fire of justice, the fire of faith. It is the fire of love burning deep in the human heart, the divine glow in every life.
Keep your heart wide open, though the waves wanna push you around. You gotta keep your heart wide open till your faith brings you back to solid ground. I'm gonna keep my heart wide open. Though these waves wanna put all they want me around, throw the waves waves wanna push me around, I'm gonna keep my heart wide open till my faith brings me back to solid ground.
Say hi.
Hi.
Hi, I'm Isla Rose. Please join me in the children's affirmation. We are Unitarian Universalists. We are people of faith with open minds, loving hearts, and helping hands.
Instead of a message for all ages today, we have a ritual for all ages. I'm just going to turn on our recording here so we make sure we capture it. We have a ritual for all ages. This morning, we have the special joy of celebrating one of the most sacred rituals in the life of our congregation, the blessing and dedication of a new baby. She's the daughter of Dan Lilly and Emily Quo Lilly. Dan and Emily have been part of First Unitarian since 2016, when Dan became the ministerial intern here. We've been so blessed to see him grow in ministry and then to see his and Emily's little family grow. They welcomed their first child into the world in February. Next week, the three of them will be moving to Washington State, where Dan has accepted a ministry position at the UU Congregation of Woodinville. Before they leave, though, we get to welcome their little one as a Unitarian Universalist and bless her. Hi, Dan and Emily. Hello there, little one. We also welcome godparents Anna Shields and Jeff Lilly, along with grandparents Ruth and David and Mary and Steve and great-grandfather Noel and great-granny Pat and aunts and uncles and all the family who are here to witness and celebrate this moment, not to mention the over 250 people in this congregation who are joining in this blessing. These are your people, little one. Dan and Emily, to raise up a human being is one of life's most precious tasks and most precious relationships. Do you promise yourselves in love and in steadfastness to your child? Oh, we should make sure they're unmuted. Can our DJ unmute Dan and Emily? Try again. Oh, there we go. We can hear you. Do you promise yourselves in love and steadfastness to your child?
We do.
We do.
Will you cherish her and with your words and actions teach her truth, justice, compassion, and the inherent worth of every person?
We will.
We will.
What name have you given this child?
Natalie May Quo Lilly.
Natalie May Quo Lilly. We welcome you to the community of all good souls. May the touch of a rose receive our blessing. May your thoughts be wise. May your lips speak truth. May your heart be filled with love. We dedicate you to a life of love and service for and among your fellow human beings. And together with your parents and all who love you, we dedicate ourselves to creating a kind and just world for you and for all of our children. She's absolutely precious. Thank you. Will you join me in a prayer for this little one and her family? Spirit of life, pour your love down on Natalie. Keep her safe and growing, loved and loving through all the days of her life. Bless her family, which loves and nurtures her. Bless Dan and Emily, and may the new home they will soon make be one of peace, wellness, love, community, and abundance. And bless this congregation, which has pledged itself to be, for all of our children, a place of nurture, community, spirit, and truth. We give thanks for little Natalie and for all of our children, and we pray that the words of our lips, the meditations of our hearts, and the living of our lives is of service to all that is lovely and loving, all that is gentle and kind. Amen. Amen.
Will you please join me in singing a blessing to Natalie and Dan and Emily? The words are in the chat box, and you may know this. From you I receive, to you I give, together we share, and from this we live.
From you I receive, to you I give, together we share, and by this
blessings to all of you. Thank you.
With that beautiful feeling within us and between us, let us prepare our bodies for meditation and prayer. We begin with a breath. Inhalation, exhalation. You can close your eyes if you'd like. Breathe in and breathe out and see which part of you could be a bit more at ease. Maybe some tension can leave your brow or your shoulders, your abdomen or your legs. Breathe out, setting the tension free. Just being with the good feelings of this moment. What are you resting on? A chair, a bed? Maybe you're standing up. Let the thing below you fully support your weight. The chair or the bed which rests on the floor which rests on the earth. Feel it as it seems to press back up against you as the earth draws you toward herself with gravity. And just be held as we continue in silence. And if any sounds or thoughts distract your mind, just gently bring it back with your breath. Let us take a few moments now to share our joys and concerns. When the music starts, I invite you to start with the joys. First, you can type them into the chat box where we can see them and hold them with you, and then concerns. And if you're joining by phone this morning, you can always share your joys and concerns with the pastoral care team by emailing caring@uuabq.org. Let's share our joys and concerns now.
Brother's hand, who's holding the hand of a mother. She's holding the hand of a child's hand, who's holding the hand of another. He's holding the hand of a sister's hand. She's holding my hand. We are a circle.
Thank you.
All these we lift up, all the joys, gratitudes, simple happinesses, all the concerns, losses, all the prayers. We lift up the name and the legacy of John Lewis. We lift up the friends and loved ones of Don Ellsworth, who passed away on the 21st. We lift up Drew Dooley and Deborah Lucero. Drew's father died earlier this month at the age of 90. Let us pray. Spirit of life, mystery, Holy One, all our loved ones we lift up to you, to the great powers of healing, of comfort and renewal known by many names. And we extend to all of them our love. And because sometimes it is we and not just our neighbors or loved ones in need of prayer, I lift up to you each person who is here this morning. A precious being, everyone. Let love surround each. Let it spill over them from family and friends. Let love flow over us in the form of beauty, in the form of trees and sky and stars that spread out above us, the stars that see us and that know our place in the order of things. We pray for each other and for our lives. We pray for our community and for the world, for every corner of it. We pray for peace, for wholeness. We give thanks for the gift of this day, for the company of this community, for the blessings in our lives. And we pray that we may extend blessings to others and that we may create peace through our manner of being in the world. For all these things, we give thanks and we say, Amen. Peace be with you.
I see you, I hear you, I feel you. And though I can't claim to understand, I can stand still and reach out my hand and try to feel you.
I feel you.
I feel, I see you,
I feel the tears fall from the same source as my own.
What a mystery, and though I can't claim to understand, I am listening, I can stand still and reach out heart to the words of your song.
Our reading this morning is The Moments of My High Resolve from For the Inward Journey by Howard Thurman. Keep fresh before me the moments of my high resolve. Despite the dullness and the barrenness of the days that pass, if I search with due diligence, I can always find a deposit left by some former radiance. But I had forgotten. At the time, it was full-orbed, glorious, and resplendent. I was sure that I would never forget. In the moment of its fullness, I was sure that it would illumine my path for the rest of my journey. I had forgotten how easy it is to forget. There was no intent to betray what seemed so sure at the time. My response was whole, clean, authentic. But little by little, there crept into my life the dust and grit of the journey. Details, lower level demands, all kinds of cross currents, nothing momentous, nothing overwhelming, nothing flagrant, just wear and tear. If there had been some direct challenge, a clear cut issue, I would have fought it to the end and beyond. in the quietness of this place, surrounded by the all-pervading presence of God, my heart whispers, keep fresh before me the moments of my high resolve, that in fair weather or in foul, in good times or in tempests, in the days when the darkness and the foe are nameless or familiar, I may not forget that to which my life is committed. Keep fresh before me the moments of my high resolve. The words of Howard Thurman.
Well, it's been a long time since I've been with you, and even though I'm seeing you on the screen, I feel your presence, and I want to thank you, Reverend Angela, for giving me the opportunity to speak. Please know that I love and respect you all very much. I want to acknowledge the heroes and sheroes whom we've lost in recent weeks, who have been so important in shaping who I am and upon whose shoulders I stand. To civil rights activist Congressman John Lewis and C.T. Vivian, names I'm certain you have heard, and my childhood champion, Sister Mary Wynn and Brother Victor Rito, I simultaneously mourn your loss and celebrate the vibrancy of your lives. I know you have earned your eternal rest, and I will miss you for the rest of my days, and so it is. A few months ago, a pandemic blindsided us and stopped all of us in our tracks and made most of us realize that the world as we knew it was no more. Everything changed in an instant. This season in our lives has been so incredibly challenging, and then right on top of it came a series of new blows that we had to pay attention to. We watched a modern day lynching in real time. It was everywhere. And there was no distraction that would allow us to turn away from what we were seeing in this real time pandemic. Would not allow us to ignore the 401 year pandemic of racism that is and has been as devastating as COVID-19. Our emotions are running high in this moment. People are asking, what do we do to end this crisis? How do we make Black Lives Matter for real? I suggest to you that we must do everything we can, as Reverend William Barber once said, to make this a movement and not a moment. This, as my friend Brian Colon says, is a tipping point and not a flashpoint. And to further nuance that statement, I would add that our focus on the moment is essential. As I said, we can't ignore what is happening in this current moment, but it must be accompanied by an equivalent focus on the movement. What do we do when the hashtags stop trending and when the news cycles end, and they will end? What will we do then? The system and the container that created this moment requires the same intensity of focus. Most of us agree that our system is broken and requires change. We may not all have the same understanding of what change looks like, but there is fairly common agreement that there are major defects in our system of governance. Today, I'm asking you to join me in understanding that we are not separate from the system. Collectively, we comprise it. I'd ask you to explore with me a new way to discuss the system by agreeing with me, or at least seriously considering this premise. I am the system, therefore I am the solution. We are smart and committed people, and now is the time for us to acknowledge that the white supremacy and racism that is inherent within the structure of our systems will only change when we do. So my talk today is about our personal responsibility as relates to the situation we currently find ourselves in as a nation. I also want to make an important distinction here. I am Catherine McGill, founder, director of the New Mexico Black Leadership Council and the New Mexico Black History Organizing Committee. the purpose to which my life is committed, my assignment, if you will, is to use my voice and influence to create a society that is based on equality and justice. I am a Black woman, and I am proud of my heritage and my ancestry, but I do not speak for every Black person, and it is a mistake to make one person your source of information about what is so. I encourage all of you to understand your personal brand and your own pathway to being a leader and demonstrating leadership. We are all leaders in our own unique way. In regards to contextualizing this moment, this, unfortunately, is not the first time that America has experienced this kind of national unrest. It seems to happen over and over and over again. On June 11th, 1963, America's 35th president, John F. Kennedy, went on national television hours after George Wallace tried to prevent two qualified University of Alabama students, African-American students, from entering that university. Kennedy had not previously been willing to use his office to mandate civil rights until he was forced to do so by protests and demands that he look at what was happening in the nation as a moral imperative to act. Until he relented and understood that if America was indeed the land of the free and indeed the home of the brave, that it had to be true for everyone and not just for some. He went on national television that evening and he said, "Good evening, my fellow citizens. This afternoon, following a series of threats and defiant statements, the Alabama National Guardsman was required on the University of Alabama to carry out the final and unequivocal order of the United States District Court of the Northern District of Alabama. That order called for the admission of two clearly qualified young Alabama residents who happened to have been born Negro." He went on to urge Americans to look within and to reflect individually about where we wanted to stand when he said this nation was founded on the principle that all men are created equal and that the rights of every man are diminished when the rights of one man are threatened. We are confronted primarily with a moral issue. It is as old as the scriptures and is as clear as the American Constitution. The heart of the question is whether all Americans are to be afforded equal rights and equal opportunities, whether we are going to treat our fellow citizens and Americans as we want to be treated. 100 years of delay have passed since President Lincoln freed the enslaved, yet their heirs, their grandsons, are not fully free. Neither will America be until all its citizens are free. After delivering this speech, Kennedy reportedly said to a few trusted colleagues, "You know, sometimes you look at what you've done, and the only thing you ask yourself is what took you so long to do it." The next week, President Kennedy sent his civil rights bill to Congress. And with that impassioned plea and historic legislation that went to Congress and was eventually passed, shouldn't that have been the end of it? Why are we in this place again? I believe that it is because our focus has been primarily on handling the crisis of the moment. Certainly, the moment is important and must have our focus. However, this focus distracts us, perhaps by design, from focusing on real change and long-term solutions. The system that we operate in is designed to be self-perpetuating, and while we focus just on easing the pain of the moment, the system continues unabated, and many of the solutions that we employ are only temporary. We must ask ourselves why this is true. If we are who we say we are, and we believe what we say we believe. The Committee on Public Information, or the Creel Commission, headed up by George Creel and created by the Wilson administration, was an independent agency of the United States. government designed to influence public opinion to support our country's participation in World War I. The leading figure in the Creole Commission was a man by the name of Edward Bernays, the nephew of Sigmund Freud. Armed with his uncle's theories of the subconscious, Edward Bernays is considered to be the father of spin, of public relations, and the catalyst for developing what we now know as a booming public relations industry. Bernays wrote a book called Propaganda that chronicled his successful campaign to rally patriotism in World War I. And it should be noted that the term patriotism didn't have any bad juju surrounding it at that time. It was considered just to be a way to shape public opinion until it became associated, that word, with the strategies and tactics of Nazi Germany in World War II. Bernays theorized and popularized the notion that it is possible and necessary to regiment the public mind every bit as much as an army regiments bodies. The techniques used to regiment minds, he said, had to be used by the intelligent minorities in order to make sure that the government remained in power and control of the majority. And ladies, if you are ever wondering who helped make pantyhose, that evil, incredibly hot, restricting invention popular, you can look to Freud's nephew, Mr. Bernays, who helped to shape the campaigns that told us as women that if we wanted to be beautiful, that if we wanted empowerment, that we had to wear silk hosiery and subsequently pantyhose to be considered so. And I don't know about you, but I agree that I do want to be regarded as beautiful and empowered. But I think most of us have come to learn that wearing pantyhose is not, in fact, what makes us beautiful and empowered. Wearing pantyhose, like so many other things, was a well-orchestrated and brilliant distraction. Unbeknownst to me at the time, I played a game as a child that perfectly illustrates this point. The game usually began with some other kid on the playground or in the classroom who would sneak up behind you and say, "Look over there." And when you looked, the kid would laugh and start chanting, "Ha-ha, made you look, stole your mama's pocketbook." I might be dating myself with that story, but it's a game that we played. It's a game that we still are playing. This moment is important, and perhaps the most important time of my life. But if we focus only on the vagaries and the injustice of this particular crisis and not the system that created it, it will be another "ha-ha, made you look" moment and nothing, and I do mean nothing, will ever change. I find that unacceptable, and I hope you will too. And the way we dismantle the system is by taking individual ownership of this current moment. I am the system, therefore I am the solution. I ran across an article a few years ago in the Harvard Business Review that focused on how we change systems and organizations. The author said that change occurs when leaders, and we are all leaders, take personal responsibility and start each day by asking two questions. What leadership is required of me in this situation, and how can I be of service? I am asking you to begin the dismantling of systems that don't support equality and justice by doing your own research on how we can authentically live out the principles upon which this country was founded: liberty and justice for all, and not just for some. And the next time you walk into a room where you have the power and privilege to use your voice to make a difference, if you are who you say you are, and if you believe what you say you believe you must, let us go beyond tokenism and surface level diversity, equity, and inclusion to humanism so that my interests are represented whether I am in the room or not. Take me and the common need for equality and justice with you to those spaces, and I promise to do the same for you. when you go into those rooms with an equality and justice lens, ask yourself in that moment, what leadership is required of me in this situation? And how can I be of service in support of our common mission? And as Maya Angelou reminded us, it will take courage. She said, I am convinced that courage is the most important of all the virtues, because without courage, you cannot practice any other virtue consistently. Oh, you can be kind for a while. You can be generous for a while. You can be just for a while or merciful for a while. But it is only with courage that you can be persistently and insistently kind and generous and fair. It will take courage to change the system and make a commitment to shared power, but I know, I'm certain we can do it. This is an anthem I wrote recently that I hope will help define my intention and our efforts. Wake up, stand up, speak out, break through. Rise up, step back, undo. Start fresh, do right, listen, learn more. This is all we're asking for. This is a movement and not a moment. And in the spirit of my ancestors, without whom I would have no voice, I employ us all to work together to make it so. Keep fresh before us the moments of our high resolve. Ashe. Happy Sunday, y'all.
Amen. Thank you, Kathy. May it be so. This week, I heard from Bob Mueller. He's the treasurer of our Social Justice Council. And he had an update to share about the Change for the Future program. That's the program where when we met in person, we used to receive all of the loose change and any designated funds each Sunday. And then we would each quarter give it away to a designated organization in the community, another nonprofit. And I've been wondering, you know, during the pandemic and being a virtual church, how this was going to impact our Change for the Future program. Would we have to find some other way to give money to these nonprofit organizations, or just what would it look like without offering baskets? So Bob had an update to share. He says, it's with pride and gratitude that I report that our Change for the Future program has seen increased contributions in spite of the COVID-19 crisis and the loss of our in-person church services. It's a testament to our congregation that we continue to support our community, he says. And he shared that our last Change for the Future organization before the pandemic received about $3,100, a pretty typical collection in the quarter. But the first one after the pandemic, Women to Be, received $4,900. So far more than a typical collection. Bob added, when I contacted the director for Women to Be and told her the results, she was amazed and thankful. She wants the congregation to know how much our support is appreciated. So I pass those words of appreciation on to you, along with encouragement to just know that your gifts really make a difference. This quarter's Change for the Future organization is Oxford House, which supports people living in recovery. And you can make an offering by clicking the link that we'll put in the chat box. You can give online that way, or you can send a check to the church office. Thank you so much for all of your kinds of gifts. And we will now take up the offering for the work of this church and for the work of this church in the community. They are one.
There's so much to so appreciate, much. Even when the world seems out of hand. Even when we do not understand, still there's so much. There's so much,
so much
to be grateful for,
so
even
much
an invitation to breathe. Let us take a moment
so
just to breathe
and
recognize there's so much.
Oh, there's so much.
Oh, oh, oh. is wonderful, even in the midst of loss and change. There's a chance that something new begins, and don't you want that so much?
So
I know we need it so much, Papa.
What is generously given is received with gratitude. Thank you on behalf of the congregation and on behalf of Women to Be. We are nearing the end of this formal service now, and as always, we'll have small groups after the service, a kind of coffee hour. And if you'd like to stay for those, all you need to do is stay on the Zoom call and we'll just automatically connect you with one. If you do stay for a small group, you might like to have a discussion question to help you get the conversation started. And there's so much meaningful content in the service today, so much you could discuss. So I'm gonna lift up for you from the reading that Kathy chose from Howard Thurman, that question about high resolve and how do we keep fresh before us the moments of our high resolve when we felt really committed and energized? What moments like that have you had in your life? And if you keep them in front of you now, how do they guide you in helping to heal and correct these harmful systems that are made up of people, like of us? What are your moments of high resolve? How do they help you now? How do they guide you? Let's extinguish our chalices. With these words of benediction. This is the day we have been given. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let us live wisely, love courageously, and bless all whom we are blessed to meet. Go in peace.
Showing up. Look at how far we've come. Everybody building the path of love. Now we gotta keep walking it. Gotta keep walking it. Well, somebody got an idea and then they go talking it. They show up to make it real and then we go building the path of love. Now we gotta keep walking it. Gotta keep walking it. Who knows where to go? Just keep on the winding path. Which road do you suppose is the path of love? Just keep on walking, writing, loving, fighting. Keep on working, praying, living and dying. The heart of the thing I'm trying to say is pulse of every day. It's a song I sing, a prayer I pray to lead my path all along the way. There's a amazing gratitude. Somebody might fall down and we go pick them up. We're holding the lost and found. Everybody building path of love. Now we gotta keep walking it. Gotta keep walking it. Well, the road just might get long, but we keep walking on. The hold of a hand is strong. Everybody building the path of love. Now we gotta keep walking it. Gotta keep walking it. Who knows where to go? On the winding path, which road do you suppose is the path of love? Just keep on walking, writing, loving, and fighting. Keep on working, praying, living, and dying. The heart of the thing I'm trying to say. say. It's the beating pulse of every day. It's the song I sing, the prayer I pray. It'll lead my path all along the way. There's a maze. There's a maze. Gratitude. Showing up. And look at how far we've come. Everybody building the path of love. Now we gotta keep walking it. Gotta keep walking it. Gotta keep walking it. Gotta keep walking it.